Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Monday afternoon?
Oh, James, I'm fantastic as always. Work was smoother than silk today. It's almost like I had someone else on the truck with me just helping me do the stops, man. Oh, there he goes. He's flexing. No, it was a good day. Me and you got to run today together. It was a good time. Made quick work of the day, that's for sure. How are you, my friend?
Good, man. It's always nice going on a day with your friend, you know? Like, we're friends before the job. We've been friends for a long time. We get to spend the day together joking around while we're doing stuff. And now spend a little more time joking around and talking Steelers.
Absolutely. What
a good way to finish the day up.
Oh, it's a good way. I don't know a better way to finish the day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple.
I can't, but it's just not appropriate for me to talk about.
No, we're gonna stop there.
It would involve the wife and maybe a bottle of wine. I don't know.
Okay. Hey, respect to you, my guy. Respect to you. Maybe if there's a Steeler fan out there who's a young lady, her and I can chat and we can.
There you go.
We can get some double dates.
Hit up Cody Crow 92
on all social media platforms, Snapchat included. I don't know. I'm excited to talk about Steelers football, man.
Yeah, man, and I'm excited about this mega deal, but contract extension for all-pro safety Minkah Fitzpatrick to happen like a day after we recorded the last episode.
Literally the next day.
Yeah, that is definitely the big news since we talked to you guys last. Huge deal. What was it? $18.4 million per year on the extension, an additional 4 years on top of the 1 year that he already has remaining on his deal. So we've got him for 5 more years, which is fantastic. A two-time All-Pro and both times first team, right?
Yeah.
And two-time Pro Bowler as well in his young career. That's 4 years in the league and the best at it in two of those years. And really, the only reason last year was not one of those years is because he had to babysit everybody all year.
Yeah.
And basically play additional linebackers. So
that is true.
Amazing thing. I'm ecstatic that they got this deal done, Cody. I think you dug up some fun numbers as far as some comparisons to the past.
I did. I actually don't have them in front of me, which is fine.
That's okay. You tell me when you're ready for them. I'll give you the numbers you asked me to write down.
I had to do the math to figure it all out. Minkah Fitzpatrick signs the 4-year deal. Obviously, James is showing off the Red Bull right there. It's not the yellow one, not black and yellow. It's the blue one. But there is the blue star in the Steelers logo, so don't worry about it.
That's it.
Still it's supportive. There's almost every flavor supports us except the new one and the orange one.
Yeah.
That's okay.
There's a symbol on any of this stuff here.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, here we go.
The orange one's just for the Halloween terrible towel behind you. There you go. We love it. So anyways, yes, Minkah signed the contract, and I was just very curious to see how much Pittsburgh has paid for high-end defensive backfield players in the past, and specifically safeties. My recent history with the Steelers, obviously, I've only ever seen them play from the mid to late 90s to now. Even if I'm being honest, early 2000s was when I, you know, started getting big into football as a kid. But with that being said, Troy Polamalu came to my mind. So I was like, I wonder how much they paid Troy Polamalu compared to Minkah Fitzpatrick, how much this extension was worth, blah, blah, blah. Well, doing the math and looking at Minkah's deal, it was, I want to say, 8.47.
8.847 on Minkah.
8.847 of the total yearly salary that was going to Minkah. So this year's total salary of $210 million or whatever it is, he's getting paid 8.847% of that total number is going straight to him. And so I was curious how close that was, or if that was similar to the bigger contract extension they gave Troy Polamalu, which was in 2011. I believe they gave Tim the contract extension there would have been a 3-year deal for $29.6 million. The extension he got before that in 2007 was a 5-year deal worth only $33 million. So this technically the 3-year one, even though it was less money, was a higher cap volume for him. And he was at 8.222% of the total cap space. So very intriguing to see kind of the similarities there as far as the contract extension with total number of salary, how much percentage of that was going to each of these players. So 8.22 and 8.847 is actually very intriguing to me and shows, I think it should show the value that they put on Minkah Fitzpatrick. They actually gave him technically a larger percentage extension than they did Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
2011 being the year that that Troy Polamalu made the Madden cover as well, just saying.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's it, baby.
Yeah, that's the difference right there.
I think that's really interesting. Yeah, I think that's really interesting, personally. It's almost as if the same guy that negotiated this contract with Minkah Fitzpatrick was in charge of negotiating contracts back when Troy Polamalu was doing it. Oh, yeah, he is the same guy. So you got to love this as Omar Khan's first really serious move as the new general manager for the Steelers, locking up All-Pro free safety Minkah Fitzpatrick for an additional 4 years. That leaves room to give him another extension at the end of that, because he's still going to be in his late 20s at that point.
Yep. And doing it at a time that was not always the time that we would typically see extensions for Pittsburgh, which was different.
Yeah. And they beat a couple other teams to the table. Derwin James still doesn't have his contract extension. Neither does Jesse Bates III. So now those teams are probably going to have to pay those guys more than Minkah, because Minkah got his deal first.
Correct.
But if you would have waited for those, then we might have had to pay $20 million a year to Minkah instead of 18.4.
Yeah.
And we also probably a better deal that way.
Yeah. We also talked about how Jesse Bates may not be getting a contract extension with the draft that they did. So
yeah,
that's also,
he might be a free agent.
You never know.
That might be a tag and trade kind of thing next year. You never know.
Yikes.
But this did actually free up $2.5 million in cap space, which is crazy. But that's just because the fifth year contract would have been a fully guaranteed. That's restructured a little bit. So now Pittsburgh has almost $23 million in cap space free. A large portion of that will be used in in-season roster transactions, signing the practice squad, because there's 16 of them now, so that counts a lot more against the cap than previously. And Kenny Pickett still isn't under contract yet, which I understand he is the highest numbered draft pick from this most recent draft class to not sign yet.
Yep.
So he ought to be real soon if the top 19 are all signed and he's not. So that's a good sign for his signing to probably happen pretty soon here, but that's all just kind of a formality anyway. It's not like he's not going to sign. He's going to sign.
And if we have the luck that we've had so far here recently at Steelers by Lake, he's probably signing tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on that.
That's it.
Keep an eye on our social media platform. We'll definitely share that as soon as that comes across our news feed with you guys, or if we hear anything else from our inside people.
That's it.
I don't know who they are, but we'll figure it out.
I used to have one almost. Our timing missed so close, man.
I know.
Right before we started this, my wife has an uncle through it's her stepdad's like cousin or something that was working in PR for the Steelers. And I have his business card. I have pictures of me holding the two most recent Super Bowl rings, because he got Super Bowl rings from being high enough up in the front office. And I didn't know this when I got into the relationship, but you know, there I was the first time meeting a bunch of the family 3-4 months into the relationship, and I'm holding two Steelers Super Bowl rings. I was almost about to lose my mind.
And she's a Browns fan.
Like the next year or so.
And your wife's a Browns fan.
Yeah, but a lot of them are all from the Latrobe area.
That's fair.
They live close to where training camp is. A lot of big-time Steeler fans in that part of the family.
Yeah, so definitely keep an eye on all the news that might be coming across your news feed, our news feed, all that stuff. We'll let you know. Real quick, big shout-out to any fathers out there. This past weekend was Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to you. James, happy furry Father's Day to you, because you have all the furry animals.
Happy Father's Day to you,
too. I don't like how that sounded, but we're going to move past it. but yeah, so anyways, if you guys have been paying attention over the past few weeks, we're in week three now, going over the positional breakdown for the Pittsburgh Steelers, before we even get to training camp. So with that being said, this week we're going specifically over fullbacks and tight ends. If you were paying attention before, I did say this week would be tight ends and O-line. We decided to kind of wait. O-line's a big animal, figuratively and literally, to talk about.
Yeah.
So we decided to mush together fullbacks and tight ends, especially considering one of our fullbacks is kind of a tight end, or our tight ends is kind of a fullback. He's the rookie. We'll talk about him soon.
However you want to look at it.
Whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter. He's a fullback. He's a tight end. He's
potato, potato. Huh?
He's a tight end with a fullback. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go fullbacks first and talk about the brothers. Yeah. The younger brothers, the smaller brothers, the little guys, you might call them. Derek Watt, brother of DJ and TJ Watt. Or excuse me, TJ and JJ Watt.
TJ and JJ.
He should be named DJ. His middle name starts with a J too, I think. I don't know why he's not DJ. We talked about this before. There's a reason.
Technically an older brother to TJ.
Correct. I apologize.
Yeah.
Middle brother.
and but then he is smaller than TJ.
Correct. And then Connor Hayward we'll get to, who's the rookie, but also the brother. But obviously starting with the guy that's been in the room longer, Derek Watt.
Mm-hmm.
He's not losing his position. We can tell you that much.
No, absolutely not. He's in the third year of a 3-year deal signing as a free agent with the Steelers. And this is honestly, in Cody and I's opinion, a very underutilized player, a very talented receiver out of the backfield, an absolute demon on special teams. I won't be surprised if he gets a special teams captain this year. Just because he led the league in tackles last year on special teams. Mm-hmm. So just the kind of guy that when you talk about that, that's typically your middle linebackers, your backup middle linebackers, your backup outside linebackers, or even a backup safety. There's usually somebody from one of those positions that leads the team in tackles on special teams, especially backup middle linebackers. You got guys that are like, that's what they do. They hunt ball carriers. And we just keep on ending up with guys like Derek Watt. I mean, the biggest parallel I can draw is previous to him having Tyler Matakevich on the team. Yep. Tyler was just an absolute stud on special teams.
Animal.
Making tackles on punt coverage, on kick coverage. But you didn't necessarily want him playing a ton on defense because he just wasn't as athletic to keep up with some of the premier athletes. But those return guys, for whatever reason, he just hunted them down, man.
Yeah.
And I love that about Derek Watt, how incredibly talented he is on special teams. I think he's going to get a little more involved in the offense this year. I think we're going to see it spread open a little bit more. And I'm sure that all the quarterbacks have seen the tape of Derek Watt standing wide open in the end zone and Ben not even looking at him.
Yep. And here's the benefit. Here's the benefit of having the two new quarterbacks specifically in the room, Mitch Trubisky and obviously Kenny Pickett. Both these guys are going to be learning this system for the first time with no Ben's never had a fullback that was a dump off catcher guy, whatever. Ben's mentality of I have a fullback available out of the backfield was never there. Ben's never had that. Chris Fumatu-Walafala didn't do that. Dan Kreider was his
name.
Dan
Kreider
didn't do that.
John Whitman.
Rosie Nix did that once in the end zone and somehow caught it. Like Ben, I don't blame Ben for not looking to him because it was never an option in his career to do that. And you just become so second nature, especially with Ben being the backyard football kind of thing. He knew who he had normally, and Derek Watt wasn't one of them. I understand that. And the fullback wasn't one of them. But now these two guys, Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, can learn, I got fullbacks that can catch the ball. So this could be good for Pittsburgh Steelers.
Especially with the utilization of the next guy we're going to talk about. We're going to get into Connor Hayward next, because Connor's the size of a fullback, but being utilized as far as what we can see in camp so far, more so as a tight end.
Yep.
I do believe he's got the versatility for both. He actually was a standout on special teams on punt and kick coverage at Michigan State also, so he kind of fills a similar role to what Derek Watt's doing currently, but just known for absolutely incredible hands receiving the ball. So they're going to work him in. He's going to get some usage, especially in the preseason. I think we're going to see a lot of Connor Hayward. And I think these young quarterbacks are really going to like throwing to him because he just catches everything. So I'm excited to see what we get out of Connor Hayward. Similar size to Derek Watt at 6 foot, 230. Derek a little taller at 6'2", 234. But I do believe personally we're going to see a lot of usage. It's just an unused, untapped potential.
Yep.
Teams don't even worry about your fullback. So if you got a guy like that that you can incorporate into the passing game, it really opens things up in the offense and brings back to some things that Pittsburgh tried to do in previous years, which they would come out in like a base offense where they'd have a tight end, two wide receivers, fullback, tailback, and then they'd call audible, and all of a sudden everybody lines up and it's five wide. Well, that only works if you have fullbacks that can run routes and catch the ball. And I think we've got two of them on the team right now. So I'm excited to see what Connor does in the preseason. And hopefully he can make the 53-man roster and get a little playing time during the season. But I think there's a ton of potential there just because he's a very versatile athlete.
Yeah, I think that Connor Hayward is going to come in. And I believe that here's a benefit of Connor Hayward specifically. I think you get a benefit from him coming in and being able to play special teams because I don't think they're going to stop Derek Watt from playing special teams, but it gives you another player who can play special teams at probably the same caliber or level, maybe a little less right now.
Similar.
It's his first year in the league. He might have to adapt a little bit to bigger bodies, faster people, whatever. But Connor Hayward can come in and make an immediate impact because now you don't have to have you don't have to have as much depth at the linebacker position necessarily because a lot of those guys are playing that role of the special teams guy. That's what they're there for. You can lose a guy in middle linebacker depth potentially. We talked about this a little bit before, who can have, quite frankly, if Connor Hayward's going to have a bigger impact on special teams than a third, fourth string middle linebacker, why keep him on the team? Other than the fact that we've seen what happens with injuries and all that crap.
Yeah, or why dress him on Sundays? You know, you give Connor Hayward the jersey, not that backup middle linebacker, if he's more versatile.
100%.
It's how many roles can you play? So if you get a little more out of Connor Hayward because he can play fullback, tight end, and then all these roles on special teams as well, then he gets the jersey over that fourth string middle linebacker, in my opinion. But let's move on to the tight end room here, where I think there's a lot of potential here, really specifically at the top and then the back of the roster, some possible, there's some pedigree going on there too.
There is a lot of potential, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, guys. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Gonna hit him with that the day after Father's Day. The dad jokes are here.
Yes,
we are.
Sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. All right.
So Pat Freiermuth, last year's second round draft pick out of Penn State, had a very impressive rookie season. Looking forward to seeing him in his second season. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't continue to improve. I think we're going to have a more open offense, as we've talked about previously, which is going to give him the opportunity to get more yards after catch, probably a few more targets as well, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
So really excited about it. He says he dropped a few pounds to get a little bit quicker, says he's a little stronger as well, which makes sense. It's just kind of what naturally happens if you stay in the gym. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about seeing what Pat Freiermuth can do in year two.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Real excited for Pat. Me and you watched the full video today of him being mic'd up at OTAs, which it's just a blast seeing him oh my gosh, seeing him and Zach Gentry get along and joke around, him and Kenny Pickett joke around. During one part of the video, he kept asking Kenny Pickett if he had ever beaten Penn State, which he hasn't, being a pick quarterback. And Kenny walks away and you see him turn back and he's like, "All right, Pat, we get it. You're mic'd up." Just the jokes were rolling. He's a player that I love to see. He reminds me a lot of in the joking manner. I don't want to compare him on the field yet. I would love to, but he reminds me a lot of George Kittle. George Kittle, if you ever get to see George Kittle mic'd up, is a jokester, has a blast. My favorite's when he's talking about other players on his team that are on the opposite side of the ball. He's like, "Man, I love having them on my team." You said that about Nick Bosa. Just hysterical player. And that kind of energy, quite frankly, people underestimate this. People underestimate this a lot. Good, fun energy can a lot of the times bring people closer together and allow them to have gel together, chemistry, all that stuff, and work better together. I don't care what anyone says. Ask anyone who's a CEO or a big leader in a company. That stuff matters, and it matters a lot. So seeing Pat Freiermuth get along well with the guys and have fun and everything was great. But again, Pat Freiermuth as the player is going to have, I think, a breakout year this year. So look forward to that because I am as well. Next guy on the list we're going to talk about is probably you got something else. What's up?
You know who he reminds me of personality-wise with the joking around and the always smiling? Former Steeler. from Super Bowl 40 and 43, Hines Ward. Always smiling, yep, always joking around, laughing and having a good time. And it's infectious. You're absolutely right. That sort of thing is infectious. And it, yep, spreads throughout the team like a good disease, you know? A good attitude like that spreads faster than COVID, people. And you want to have that.
Absolutely. Freaking-lutely. So,
yeah, absolutely love that about him. Go ahead and tell me about the next guy who I think really showed us a ton last year in comparison to his first 2 years.
Oh, my gosh, yes. So Zach Gentry, the biggest tight end in the room, 6'8", 265, makes freaking Pat Freiermuth look like a normal human being at 6'5", 258. It's hilarious to see them together again. Zach Gentry, like you said, showed us a little bit more last year, had some catches over the middle, made some plays. I'm curious to see what his actual stats were. I'll look him up as I talk, but I think I'm very excited for Gentry because with Freiermuth having a little bit of a show last year, people are going to be kind of covering Freiermuth more, and Gentry's probably in two or three tight end sets is going to have some opportunity catching the ball. And so I'm very excited to see what he can potentially do for Pittsburgh. Zach Gentry, again, his first 2 years combined had one target, one catch for 4 yards.
Barely got a jersey, barely dressed.
Yep. Last year, he had 25 targets, 19 receptions for 167 yards. That's phenomenal. As a second string tight end?
Yeah. And last year, he was almost a third string with Eric Ebron on the team as well, you know? Yep. So he didn't even get a lot of playing time until later on in the season when Ebron was already gone. But what I was really impressed with is the first 2 years they said, you know, we can't get him on the field because he just can't block well enough. Well, last year he turned the corner and went from being a guy that couldn't block very well to a guy that was a dominant blocker. So that's tremendous. And he did it by packing on some muscle. He came into the league at 265. They said he was playing closer to 280 last year. He says he dropped a couple pounds also to work on his speed and agility a little bit. But I just love the fact that when he catches a ball, he's looking for somebody to run over. And he seems to have very reliable hands also. So I'm ecstatic about having him as the number two. I hope he has a really nice season. It would be nice to give him a little 2-3 year extension after the year is over and pair him and Pat Freiermuth up for a couple of years. Last two we're going to hit on real quick here. Kevin Radar, the name should sound familiar. He's been on the team practice squad a couple of years. Got called up a couple of times, filled in a little bit here and there. He doesn't stick out as a bad player on special teams, but doesn't give you a whole lot on offense. Yep. A little better as a blocker than a receiver.
I got nothing else to say about him.
Yeah, Jay Sternberger, on the other hand, was a former third-round pick from the Green Bay Packers. An excellent receiving tight end coming into the league, so he's going to have to prove that he can actually establish himself as a worthwhile blocker, a sufficient blocker. Doesn't have to excel at it this year, but if he wants to crack the 53 or even be kept on the practice squad this upcoming season, he absolutely has to improve his blocking from the previous few seasons.
Yeah.
Tons of potential with Jay Sternberger. He's a very good receiving tight end, was an excellent college receiving tight end.
Yeah, didn't play.
So if he can turn that corner.
Yeah. Yeah, Jace didn't play last year, but in 2020, in his last year with Green Bay, had 15 targets, 12 receptions for 114 yards and a touchdown. So, fine stats, not bad. You know, three incompletions or drops or whatever they were. The touchdown and the yards is good there. So I'm on board with that. But again, we're gonna have to wait and see here. This is the question: is how many tight ends do they keep? Do they actually classify Connor Hayward as a tight end on the roster? If not, do they keep Sternberger? Do they keep Raider? What do they do? What's up?
Before you wrap up on the show here, I am really excited to see Jay Sternberger in the preseason. 100%. I think he might really stick out in the preseason against backup middle linebackers. And there's a talented quarterback room in Pittsburgh this year. So he's going to get to play with either a first round pick. There's two first-round pick guys, and Mason Rudolph, who's got 5 years' experience on the team and is no slouch of a quarterback himself. I think he would really lean on a guy like Jace, who he knows has good receiving capability, rather than throwing to, like, your number eight, number nine wide receivers. You're better off throwing to Jace. Yep. So I'm excited. I think he'll have a strong preseason.
Absolutely. I am excited too. I think he'll have I think that all the tight ends could potentially have good preseasons. The only one that I'm curious about is Raider. We haven't seen much from him because he quite frankly hasn't played much. So I'm excited to see I'm excited to see what the tight end room does. I'm excited to see what they do with the fullbacks, especially with the powerhouse that's there, special teams wise, with Derek Watt and Connor Hayward. So again, we can't thank you guys for listening enough. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. That's where you can watch the video version of this if you're listening to it on a podcast platform like Spotify, Apple iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, excuse me, and all those places. So again, thank you guys so much. We look forward to next time. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.